next case.
Cases and others versus Atlantic Coast Pipeline. Isaac Howell, Evan D. John, Appellant Counsel, M. Melissa Glassman, John D. Wilburn, Richard B. Holtheimer Jr., Brooks H. Sears, Benjamin L. Hatch, Robert W. Bobman, Appellant Counsel.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Isaac Howell. I represent the appellants. The appellants are a group of landowners in path of a natural gas pipeline that's been proposed by the appellee Atlantic Coast Pipeline. This appeal is about what it means to set forth the date of intended entry. That's the language of the statute, the Virginia Code, and whether simply stating on or after a date is sufficient statutory notice of entry. Now, the context here is 56-49.01, which states that if a natural gas company, and only if it satisfies the notification requirements, then the entry of survey crews sent by the pipeline company is not a trespass, even if the landowner does not give permission. So the main requirement for purposes of this appeal is the sending of a notice of intent to enter. It must give 15 days' notice, and it must, quote, set forth the date of intended entry.
Would you object if they gave a range of, say, a week or a couple of days versus only one specific date?
I think that would have to be dictated by what the survey required. I think if it's a 2,000-acre property, and it, you know.
In other words, you don't have a categorical objection. Your problem is the open-ended aspect of this. Because what I'm thinking is, you have crew members who could get sick. You have weather events. You may have whatever other things that might delay things by a day or two. Or it just takes longer than anticipated, and everybody down the line then faces a delay. So practically speaking, I don't see how a company could isolate a specific date for this huge undertaking.
Right. So I agree with Your Honor. It is not our position that they have to limit it to 24 hours. I think that for some properties, it can be done in 24 hours. Some of the properties are 1 acre. If it's a 2,000-acre property, maybe it can't be done in 24 hours. Maybe it takes 4 days. Maybe it takes longer. But the landowner is still entitled to know what is the intent, what is the plan, how long will it take, and then, you know, if it gets delayed, it gets delayed. Many things get delayed, but it's still their obligation to form the intent, to form the plan, and then to put the plan into the notice of intent to enter.
Have these surveys taken place yet? I mean, because we have this mootness thing kind of hanging over us.
Yes, sir. Well, there's nothing in the record about them having...
Right, but that's the nature of mootness. It's kind of outside the record.
Right. It's FERC can order a survey tomorrow, today. So the case cannot be moot while FERC is still considering the application, because... ACP says the source of, you know, why do we do a survey? We do a survey because FERC says go get some information. That process is underway. FERC could order a survey tomorrow. ACP is unable to say that the surveys are complete, whether or not they were done in June, as stated by that letter.
But do we need any more factual record to judge the legitimacy of the second notice that supplanted the first?
Does Your Honor, are you asking if it existed and the first one didn't exist?
When you say the case is not moot, you want us to address the first before or after notice, right?
Yes, the appeal is about and it's our position that the...
Is that notice operable at all under the facts of the case as under present terms?
Well, it certainly does not operate to give them access to any of the properties tomorrow. Their authority for getting access to properties tomorrow is the on or after letter. And the letter that was sent in June of 2016 itself says to the landowner, hey, we got an order against you. We got a judge to say that the 2015 letter is good, is lawful, and is sufficient, and therefore... we are coming on your property, and then it gives some dates. But that letter says specifically the reason for entry is the order that's now on appeal. So I think given that letter, you can't cleave them apart because the pipeline company doesn't cleave them apart. It says the reason for entering the property is that the April letter was sent, and then the April letter was confirmed as sufficient under the law.
So under your mootness analysis, you would not expect us to address the legal sufficiency of the second notice?
I think it is appropriate to assess that letter. I do think it is appropriate to assess that
well,
that
since letter. They're not, since they've essentially abandoned the first letter and they're relying only on the second letter in terms of the designation of dates, why isn't that really the only thing we should address?
Well, I disagree that the letter abandons the first one. It said, far from abandoning it, it says the reason we're going to get on your property is because we wrote a letter in 2015.
Fair point, but the dates and the range of dates have obviously changed, and the on or after objection which you had, which on the face of it is a great objection, is moot because they're not making any on or after notices anymore.
That I don't believe that appears in the record. They sent one letter, but there's nothing in the record that says that they're doing this in the future, that they're going to stick to this in the future. There's nothing in the record about that. So if tomorrow FERC says, we need you to get some information, their position in both letters is our right of entry was established by the April 2015 letter. That's not mootness.
Well, the right of entry is established by the circuit court order, which is on appeal now. So let me make it more practical. In the way you're understanding the mootness analysis, what would be wrong with this sequencing for this court? To say, there's a new notice, it has new dates. The old notice has been challenged, the new notice is also challenged. We'll address them both. The new notice is sufficient or not sufficient. The old notice is not sufficient or is sufficient. Is there anything about that sequencing that you would find out of the norm or inappropriate?
I think that would be appropriate to judge them that way, but the second letter has no operation today. It's for dates in 2016. It can't apply. They have not said that they're going to do that in the future. And the mootness cannot be established because for two reasons. Even if you
But to answer your first question, you say you can't do on or after. Suppose we said, right, you can't do that. We would surely have to say what you can do to contrast it against what you can't do. And how does that not run right into the obvious second letter, which says, okay, you can have more than one date. You can have a short period of time if it apparently has a prima facie reasonableness component to it. And if you break it out and attribute it to each of the tasks of your entry, then that should be sufficient. So where are we going if not to addressing both letters in terms of a pure legal analysis?
Well, I think there's two questions. You're saying... asking whether the second letter can be analyzed for its sufficiency under the statute, which I think is a different question for whether this the whole appeal is moot and can't be heard by the court because there's no jurisdiction, because there's no controversy. I think Your Honor is correct. The court should analyze. I mean, it has this other letter in front of it, and I think that would be a proper basis for saying if the letter on appeal had these type of bracketed dates, that might be sufficient for letters going forward. But that's a different analysis from, is this case moot, which therefore robs us of jurisdiction.
Has your briefing opportunity been sufficient from your client's point of view to address that last question, whether or not the second letter would be compliant under the statute?
I don't think so. I think it was not presented as a sufficient letter. It was presented as a mootness argument that robs this court of jurisdiction, and that's how we addressed it.
Do you have a problem with the second letter? Is it flawed?
If those letters are no, if that is the type of letter that they would use going forward, and those dates are reasonable for what they need to get done, then we don't object to it. It's just that there's no... Well, and I would also remove... I think we're talking about two things, too. We're talking about the dates in the letter. I'm talking about the intro of the letter. The way I read the intro of the letter, it says, we got a ruling against you. The judge said our April 2015 letter was good enough. Therefore, we can come on your property.
Well, you realize the very fact that they ended the second letter is a implicit concession that they're not going to be standing by the on or after mistake. So let me make sure you don't say something you regret later. The letter has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different rows, flagging 1 day survey, 1 day archaeology, 1 to 5 day environmental, 1 day soil resistance, 1 day. As applied to the property in question, from your client's point of view, are those reasonable notice timeframes under the statute?
Your Honor, I believe they are. I also believe that it is not sufficient to for my clients to have to rely on an implicit concession that they won't do this any further.
Right, but if we adjudicate the first one and then we bookend them with the second one, wouldn't that solve the problem?
I think it does. Again, I think I'm just trying to clean up.
No, I understand. You don't want to get kicked out on mootness and nothing gets adjudicated. What
right.
you want is an answer from the court.
Exactly.
Right.
I think that letter, as to the dates, is not unreasonable. I think that the intro to that letter that says our old letter is good enough to get on
right.
the property.
Well,
that'll be mooted by opinion of the court. You won't have to worry about that.
I'm sorry.
That first paragraph will be addressed and arguably mooted by an opinion of the court. So that will be addressed in any event.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. So, I apologize if I haven't been following you. If we're talking about the date, the bracketed dates, it is not our position that those are unreasonable for the properties that are involved. But we just have no statement that either in the letter or on the brief that's going to be done again. I think it's a classic example of capable of repetition yet evading review. Every time they could send this letter, they'd go on the property tomorrow saying, well, we sent a letter to you in April 2015, and by the time we could get in front of this court again, they could send another letter like the one from June 2016. So I don't think the dates are insufficient.
But at the end of the day, if the notice is sufficient to comply with Code Section 5649.01, you don't need a court order to get on the property.
That is correct. That's not the way the case
right.
developed. I mean, the
right.
case was a declaratory judgment action in which ACP wanted to confirm its right. It said on brief that it wants to do so to avoid conflicts. But it's not our position that the statute requires that order. It's just the way that this case developed. It's they sought the order, and then we challenged the order on the basis of the letter that was sent. And the letter that we've been talking about from June 2016, of course, that was sent after the complete circuit court trial process, demurs, and everything. So there was no opportunity to judge the sufficiency of that at an earlier date. And there was, my clients had not seen such a letter until we'd, sent the petition for appeal to this one. So I would like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal unless there's other questions.
All right. Thank you.
May it please the court, Ben Hatch on behalf of Atlantic Coast Pipeline. The last argument dealt with the mootness issue, and I will begin with that to please the court. And the question was asked, have the surveys occurred? And I very much agree with Mr. Howell. This is outside the record, but I wanted to advise the court that it's my understanding that the surveys did occur as noticed in the revised notices. I answer that because the court asked the question that the surveys occurred. The challenge focuses on the notices themselves, but I'm advised that the surveys did in fact occur on those dates. And so what we have here, and I agree with Mr. Howell that, as was stated in the brief, that this is not a mootness issue that goes to the underlying jurisdiction or validity of the judgment below. There was a case or controversy between the parties, but what's happened is that only one aspect of that judgment below has been raised as an issue on appeal. The assignment of error, two assignments but of the same nature, are to the sufficiency of the on or after notice that was attached to the original complaint. And so what's happened is, due to the issuance of the revised notices, I think that issue, that one aspect, that's the only aspect that's been brought up on appeal, has been mooted.
But you're unwilling to concede the on or after is non-compliant with the statute. Your second notice refers to the first order, which you won the on or after being compliant. Why isn't it perfectly reasonable for a landowner, having gone through all this, to say to himself, you know, if they won't admit that the first one's wrong, I need a judge to tell them so? And that is a pretty good example of capable repetition but evading review.
Your Honor, you're correct. That we also argue that the original notices were compliant with the statute. That was what the judgment below was found upon.
And you may issue original notices like that anywhere in the state the day after tomorrow.
And as we represented in the brief, that is not the policy of Atlantic Coast Pipeline. Of course, I'm not here to say that policy can never change, but that is not the policy. And I may just give the court a little sense of where things stand as it relates to this interstate pipeline project. What happened was, of course, Atlantic noticed these surveys in various areas that were in the path of the proposed route of the pipeline. Rather than Atlantic could have gone on after the notices directly, but rather than do that, Atlantic sought declaratory judgments where agreement wasn't reached with the landowners. And so that process has been running its course for some time. And all the circuit courts, I believe, in which this issue of notice was raised, it's been litigated across the state, various challenges.
Counsel, so that I understand where you're going with this argument, are you prepared to argue to us that it is moot, or are you arguing to us that on or after was appropriate? Where should I peg this argument at?
I'm arguing both, Your Honor, and let me try to explain that a little better if I could. I think it's moot because the revised notices, while they do reference the earlier judgment and they are issued after that, it's all part of this one process. There's no dispute about that. But the revised notices gave them what they asked for. I mean,
this court either endorses what the circuit court did or reverses it, as Justice Kelsey said, it is capable of repetition. So
it could happen again. I'm not going to argue with that, Your Honor, although where I was trying to go with what I was saying earlier is that this process has largely worked its way through, and so I think that the change in policy occurred after the one circuit court that found these notices inadequate, the on or after form of notice, was in Nelson County, which occurred subsequent to the decision below. And it was after that circuit court decision that the policy change occurred and that the revised notices were issued in this case and in other matters pursuant to that policy. And so I made the point that I think largely these cases have worked their way through the systems as to the notice issue, and there's not, I believe, any other pending cases. And so in the extent of repetition and evading review, I just think there's not a lot of other cases that are going to come along and present that issue.
Can I ask you this? Why isn't the fact that the surveys have already occurred, the entry has already occurred, and everything's done, why doesn't that moot everything? Who cares about the notice if the notice is a legal prerequisite to a survey and the survey's already occurred?
In answer to Your Honor's question, the fact that these surveys occurred does not moot the underlying judgment for the reason that Atlantic sought the judgment in order to secure a lawful declaratory order permitting its access to that property and removing issues of that may arise as to whether that was illegal or not, sought that in advance. And so that judgment declaring the lawful right of entry, after which entry occurred, was a useful...
But did the landowners consent to entry after the issuance of the second notice, or did they contest entry even then?
I have no information that the landowners have ever consented to the entry, pursuant to the survey notices.
So if you have a trespass sort of Damocles hanging over your head, potentially, I mean, it may be abstract, but then it seems like that would suggest perhaps we ought to address the issues rather than, you know, have a trespass suit and then maybe even seeking some kind of nominal damages. And then the defense to that is, well, we had a valid order. And you know, I'm just gaming this thing out and how it might unfold.
Thank, Yes, and that's, I think, if I understood Your Honor's point, that is why I assert the judgment below itself is not moot. That it was a judgment, there was a dispute between the parties within the standards of a declaratory judgment. We wanted our survey entry. They opposed that entry. We secured a judgment that gave the courts lawful imprimatur upon that subsequent entry, and Atlantic still stands by that lawful entry today. And so that's my answer to why the entry itself doesn't moot the issue, but I do think the revised letters moot the issue of on or after. Now, if, on the merits of it, I think the court could look at both notices, and we briefed both notices in our brief. I think the court could also look at the just at the revised notice and say that was sufficient as well. We don't need to reach the on or after. We stand by both.
The appellants apparently have conceded that the second notice satisfies the statute, and they're the appellant before them. We're not going to address something that they have conceded. We're just going to accept the concession.
That is the concession I heard, Your Honor. I think that's why we felt it was so important to get these notices before the court, because it meets them where they want to be. It provided the notice. The nature of their argument is that, you know, this open-ended, opaque notice, we don't know when to, you know, get the cows in the barn or what have you. You could come any day. This gave a six-day window. I think it's amply justified given, as the letter states, all the surveys that need to occur and all the work that needs to occur. And so they've conceded that the revised notices are sufficient. So I think that solves the case today. As to mootness, I think it also solves the case if the court doesn't view it as a mootness issue. I think it also solves the case. Certainly the revised notices are sufficient on the merits, as was conceded today. But again, we stand by the original on or after. One thing I would just say that I think is important about how this case unfolded is, of course, the statute is written to allow the entry without having to go to court. But here we went to court. And so the court process, of course, is going to take some time. And so the on or after notice said, or the original notices said, a date in April of 2015. Well, the lower court process didn't unfold until almost a year after that. And so, of course, there had to be time to allow that court process to unfold. After the court process unfolded, then we came back with more revised notices.
That's why I'm struggling with your suggestion that the entry on the property and the surveys having already been completed hadn't mooted everything. There could be no trespass liability for going in under the second notice because the second notice is concededly valid. You didn't go on the property prior to the second notice, right?
No, not to my knowledge, Your Honor.
All right. And, well, I honestly don't understand why the case is even before us at this point.
Well, I think it's, again, I think it's important to Atlantic that the judgment below stands and authorize the access that follows.
Why should we write an advisory opinion authorizing something that was never done?
Why?
And is not going to be done with these litigants again, because it's already happened through a different notice.
And to be clear, I think the court could say that this dispute has been mooted on appeal and then essentially dismiss the appeal and would not have to reach write an opinion on a merits question that may no longer be presented. So I think that route is available to the court. However, if the court doesn't view it as a merits issue, as a mootness issue, it nevertheless remains appropriate on the merits.
All of the pipe that you intend to lay in the jurisdiction of this circuit court has been laid? Is that what you're telling us?
Well, the pipe hasn't been laid yet, Your Honor, because the surveys. I can't say for certain all of them in this specific jurisdiction. I was talking more broadly across the state, Your Honor. I think somewhere in the 90% range, this is outside the record, but somewhere in the 90% range of surveys anticipated to date have been conducted.
If we assume surveys in the jurisdiction of this circuit court have not all been completed, you all issue letters tomorrow on or after, and you waive the circuit court decision that says that's perfectly fine. That, to me, would indicate that it may not be moved with that circuit court decision hanging out there.
I understand, Your Honor. And all I can say to that is that the policy of Atlantic subsequent to the Nelson County decision has been to issue these notices in the form of the revised notice with a bracketed date range.
You indicated you stand by your original on or after language, assuming for the sake of argument that it's not moot. You stand by your original on or after language for the purposes of these property owners. Where is the limiting principle? 2 years from now, 3 years from now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Your Honor. So, first of all, I think it's important that the court's, of course, construing the statute. And in the context of this statute, is talking about survey activity. So there are cases about set forth the date of an election, you know, which obviously has to be on a specific date. I think those are far afield from where we are. This is surveying activity, and I don't think there's any dispute, as we heard today, that surveys can need to occur over several days, and it may depend on what surveys are conducted.
But not for all eternity. On or after is infinity. I mean, I honestly, I don't know why your company hasn't conceded the point.
Well, counsel, is the issue, this is
connected.
It's connected to the questions that he's asking you, but under 5649.01, is your real concern that all the orders that were entered in these cases essentially say you have entry onto the property for the purposes set forth in this code section? If you look at A, you have a long list of rights once you enter onto that property or the purposes for which you can enter onto the property and then what you can do on it. The only assignments of error here are with regard to whether the notice was adequate under B, right?
Or C, Your Honor.
C,
yes.
Right. Okay. So is your concern that if this order with regard to right of entry is not affirmed, that leaves you in some middle ground here, where if you have to go on to complete the project, that you would have to get that the appellants could contest that entry and say you don't have the ability to enter because this case and this order was mooted. Is that?
Yes, Your Honor, and that it affirms the lawfulness of the entry that has already occurred and future entries pursuant to that order. So I do think that's why the judgment below is not moot or lacking in jurisdiction. The judgment below isn't. But I do think that this appeal and the specific issue that's presented on the appeal has become moot. And so I would argue the dispositions are you could dismiss the appeal as moot because the issue is no longer presented in the case, or alternately, if the court did not do that, affirm on the merits but considering as well the revised notices. And the only thing I'd say in closing is that this is a survey process, and if you look at each of these appellants have now received three notices, the original proposed entry, the notice of intent to enter, and the revised notices. And they all say, we will be in contact with you to try to schedule this. Here's our phone number if you want to give us your phone number. And so they allow more specific communication leading up to the entry. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel.
So I think what we heard is that they won't disavow the 2015 letter. A company policy is not something that my clients can depend on, and it's not something that is binding, and it's something that could change tomorrow. If this court decides that the case is moot, which seems to be the chief question that the court is wrestling with today, there is nothing stopping them from using the Buckingham County order to enter the property this week for this company.
Well, the thing we haven't really delved into is typically mootness requires a vacature of the lower court opinion. I know that we've gotten around the edges of this, but that's the norm. Mootness on appeal vacates the lower court opinion, and there's some exceptions under the Bancorp doctrine, but not many. So it's a little more subtle than just we don't decide the case or we do decide the case. The next question is, what do we do to the underlying judgment?
Well, Your Honor, it seems to me that ACP's position is that they're really trying to supplant the old letter with the new. It just hasn't quite happened. The letter doesn't do that on its face.
Because they won't give up the first letter.
So they have the possibility of surveys there. and the order is there, and the letter is there. Only thing in the way that I heard that was in the way of another survey on the old letter is the company policy, which could very well change, you know, based on an opinion from this group. So it seems to me a very live controversy based on what ACP is saying before this court, that the surveys very well could happen again, that the surveys could very well happen as a matter of company policy pursuant to a two-year-old letter, and go on from there.
And the reverse of that is that if the underlying order is vacated, then they are in the position that the next time they have to enter the property and send you the notice, you'll contest right of entry for a different reason.
Well, that's correct. I mean, then they haven't gotten the clarity. I mean, if they send an on or after letter, yes, we would challenge that.
Well, no, forget the notice. I mean, because the underlying order at the trial court said they have a right of entry.
Yes.
The only thing you appealed was the validity of the notice for the right of entry.
Correct. So, I'm sorry, I don't, if they send a new notice and it said on or after, which they could, if this case is dismissed as moot and they change the company policy, then yes, our clients would be in the position of having to go to court to challenge either a new notice that says on or after or an attempt to survey based on a two-year-old notice, neither of which can they disavow today. So the live controversy is, I mean, they maintain the old letters are valid, both that they're both sufficient as a matter of law and that they're valid to permit entry tomorrow.
So, hey, answer the question. Thank you very much. Your time's up. Please call the next.